Welcome to Synthaholics, your weekly shot of Star Trek. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is Erwin O'Brien!
Nope. It's Matthew O'Brien.
Matthew O'Brien. Damn.
I'm taking my middle name.
Your middle name, huh? Two of my best friends growing up were Matthew, so it's funny that your middle name is Matthew. I didn't know that.
Yes. I never really liked my middle name until now.
Until now. Well, it's nice to meet you, Matthew O'Brien.
Yes, this is Erwin O'Brien. We are talking about the famous and mostly forgotten Thomas Riker episode.
He is extremely forgotten by the writers and like left by the wayside and like, we don't care about him.
We'll get back to him.
We don't need to wrap that up. That's not important. Major Kira wasn't that horny for him.
But she was. Man, was she. It was really weird. Anyways, that's what we're talking about. But we do have some great Trek news that came out almost right after we released our last episode.
Yeah, within like 24, 48 hours. So, like we said last time, Herberts and Berg were fired as showrunners of Star Trek Discovery, and that Mr. Alex Kurtzman is taking over as showrunner. But not only is he taking over as showrunner, CBS has given him another 5-year contract to develop more Star Trek shows.
Yes, there's quite a bit more. So we have a Starfleet Academy kind of thing going on that's with the two of the creators or co-showrunners for the Marvel's The Runaway and Gossip Girl. So we've got that. Another limited series, which plots are being kept under wraps. We don't know what that is yet. A limited series based around Khan Noonien and Singh, and an animated series.
Please no animated series. Please no. God no.
Well, so Dave, I don't know if you saw. I mean, I'm not talking about the '70s version, but there was a proposed animated right after Next Gen that was supposed to take place.
I didn't hear about that.
It never got greenlit.
I don't remember hearing about that.
You did or you did?
I did not. I heard the JJ people were trying to do an animated series, but that never panned out because of the weird things between Bad Robot and CBS and Paramount.
No, this was before I believe the JJ Kelvin timeline came about. So this was they proposed it. You can look it up. There's some pretty cool like production art that they were started to work on, but it was supposed to take place after, you know, Next Gen and Deep Space Nine. I can't remember what the time frame was, but it was like it happened afterward. So I'm not saying that's what this is about, but I wonder if they would pick up any of those crumbs and run with it. So
I don't know. I'm just personally not a huge fan of animation nowadays, especially TV.
Animation.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's so much great stuff. We've been binge watching the Voltron on Netflix.
Well, Voltron, they love it. But that's anime. That looks good. I'm talking about like American. I mean, I guess the Netflix one is Americanized, but it's Americanized to the point where it looks like anime still. That looks great. But I mean, like Americanized cartoons. Like I just feel like they don't look great anymore. Like, you know, they don't look as good as they used to. Like, I don't know. Like I don't mind Rick and Morty. I don't mind Rick and Morty, but I hated like, you know, Ed and Eddie. I hated that style.
But that's different. That's comedy. I mean, like Rick and Morty is obviously comedy, but it's really well done.
Yeah, I like their style
with the imagery in it. Mm-hmm. What was the other one? There was something called The Hollow that they were watching. The animation was pretty good. I mean, it's not as nice as Voltron, but it's still interesting to watch.
There's a new Ninja Turtles cartoon, and that animation style looks really weird too. Like, I haven't seen, I've only seen the still art, and I'm like, I don't know if I like that. I don't know. Some modern cartoons just kind of, I guess I haven't seen too many because I don't like watch TV, but a couple I've seen online, I'm just like, I'm not super digging that art style.
Did you see the reimagined Thundercats?
Oh, that looked terrible.
That's so bad.
That's what I'm talking about. Like stuff like that. Like, because that's like the trend where things are looking now. I do not like that that art style personally. And you know, and I don't know if they want to do like a CG art show like Star Wars, like Clone Wars. I didn't like that style. Yeah. I didn't like that art style either. All the women looked okay, but all the men looked like they were like made out of squares, and I'm like, it's so ugly. And Rebels looked better, but like still, like some of the men didn't look good, and like Wookiees looked terrible in that art style. So I'm just like, animated series now like just makes me cringe, especially after how bad the original Star Trek animated series was. That mixed with nowadays stuff, I don't want an animated series.
I don't know. I think they could really do pretty good. I actually am kind of excited. If it was an anime series, I think it could be some pretty cool stuff. I'm not saying it will be, but if they can even get close to Voltron, it's pretty entertaining.
Well, I mean, if they do it like anime style and it looks like good anime like Voltron does, yeah, that would be fine because that's amazing. But if it looks like that new, what would you say, Lion?
Oh, Thundercats?
Thundercats. If it looks like new Thundercats, no thank you.
No, Thundercats, that looks terrible. Oh my God. So bad. Yeah, so, but that's great. Really cool stuff that we just got. So basically a five-year plan. I don't know if that was done on purpose or what, but.
I mean, maybe that's just how CBS, you know, does their contracts. But I would assume that means we could infer Discovery will be going on at least another three seasons after this one. I hope.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on how long it takes them to put out seasons, because this season's going to take a long time to put out if it's still not coming out until 2019. So, also with the writer's room shakeup, it could push that out to like mid 2019 if they're having to refigure everything out. So who knows what they're going to do? There are also rumors sort of happening where they're talking with Patrick Stewart, hopefully, to maybe have him reprise his role as Picard. That could be interesting. That's probably my top.
Yeah,
that's my top pick for another show. I'd love to see something like that.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm wondering, if that's the limited series it's being kept under wraps. That's what I'm wondering, if that's the Patrick Stewart one that they're proposing.
Yeah, I think it'd be a fun limited series. I don't know if it'd be a great long thing, a long-running show. I think the Khan show would probably be my second, as long as it's also a limited series. I don't know if I could do like six seasons of Khan, but if it's a limited series, that could be interesting. Starfleet Academy is right above animated series for me, because I'm like, Starfleet Academy could be interesting, but I think you would need to have really talented, like insanely talented writers and producers for that show to make it interesting. You know what I mean? Because I'm scared it would get like really drama-y and boring.
I know, that's one of the things I'm kind of afraid of.
Because, you got to have really good tech writers and, get your NASA people and, do, good science concepts. Because if they're in school, you've got to make it sound like Star Trek school. And that could also get super boring if it's all technobabble, you know what I mean? Because there's a balancing act. It's like, is it got enough technobabble? Is it got too much technobabble? Is it going to be too teen drama-y? Like, what?
I'm not worried about the techno babble. I'm worried about teen drama. I don't want it to be a Disney show.
Or CW. You mean a CW show?
Yeah, CW. I don't mind that there's going to be probably a little drama. Like, she likes him and he likes her, but but then she likes this other guy too. I picture that's probably going to be part of it. It's going to be part of the mix. But as long as it doesn't take up the whole damn show, so.
Yeah, because that's what killed the Sarah Connor Chronicles, the stupid romance subplots. It was the 90% of the plot instead of actually doing the Terminator plot. That's what killed the series, and then it had this great series finale, And then since it got canceled, they never got a third season to figure out how that unfolded. And it was the stupid love story. Don't do it, Star Trek. Please don't do it.
Yeah. I think you want to make the love story sort of like a subplot that kind of just like has like underpinnings, but it's not the main drive.
Make it an actual subplot, not a 90% of the plot.
Well, like this episode that we're trying to talk about, like Second Chances.
Yeah.
There's a love story as sort of like a undercurrent that takes part, but it's not like the whole driving thing of it. So
yeah, it's a well-done episode.
I'm very, very excited that this is all coming out and that we're going to get all this new Star Trek one way or the other.
Go ahead.
No, the Khan Noonien Singh is interesting how they're going to do it. So are they going to do him on Seti Alpha 5 or 6, whatever he is?
Or how he escaped Earth?
Yeah, or is it how he – or maybe it's like a flashing back and forth, like what happened on Earth, how his rise to power, and then him escaping, and then, you know, I don't know, you know. There's so that could be really interesting.
Lots of really cool stuff they could do with that, I think.
Yeah.
The only thing that's got me worried is like I said last week, I'm not entirely confident in Alex Kurtzman as a Rick Berman type. I guess that's the kind of position he's in right now. Like he's the head of Star Trek under CBS. I guess since they signed him for 5 more years, he's the showrunner for Discovery, and he's going to be in charge of putting new shows together, putting teams together to make new shows. So I'm not sure. I mean, obviously CBS is, you know, full confidence in him, and he's been working on Star Trek since 2009 with the first Kelvin film. But because we discussed it last time, I'm not super thrilled with some of his things, because like he's tried to launch the Spider-Man cinematic universe and the Monster cinematic universe, and those both failed spectacularly. So I'm apprehensive that he's got so much power when it comes to Star Trek.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I take a little hard is that he definitely was involved with Star Trek before, so I'm assuming he has some understanding of Star Trek now, more so than when he started in the first JJ reboot.
I hope so.
So, I'm hoping that he has like some better concept and he's taken time to digest all that.
I really hope so. I mean, he obviously loves Star Trek if he's, you know, working on it, and, you know, the interviews, he seems like he likes Star Trek. So, I mean, that's at least a step in the right direction, but, you know, we'll see how it pans out. I mean, you know, the more news comes out, we'll definitely be talking about it. I'm excited to see how this unfolds and what we'll actually be getting, and how the rest of season 2 of Discovery will unfold. Who knows? I'm definitely excited to see how all that's going.
And the next question with all this is, will this all be behind the paywall for CBS?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt.
That's where they're going to fall down every time. It's like it's fine if they release it, but they have to start releasing it after that to Netflix, to all the other people after, you know, like if you've already introduced season 1, you're moving on to season 2, release season 1 in Netflix so everyone can watch it.
Like if they do, it'll be like a month or two before season 2 starts.
Yes.
And that's a big if. I don't see them doing it because that's just too much control. And they need people. They want people on their platform. And they'll want people to resubscribe for all access to re-binge season 1 to get ready for season 2. So I don't think they're going to. I honestly think they're going to keep everything inside CBS All Access. And developing more Star Trek shows and more Star Trek limited series is super smart. That way, once Discovery season 2 ends, maybe we only have like a couple months before, you know, the animated series or the new Picard thing or the whatever starts. So if they can keep us for longer portions of the year, that's good for them. Well, it's good for us because I want to see more Star Trek.
Sure. But my thing is just that paywall stops a lot of people. And, I know a lot of people who are casual Star Trek fans that would have definitely watched Discovery. But when they find out it's, you know, CBS All Access, they're like, you know, they're not that interested in, you know, getting that service. So
yeah, I don't know. It's their strategy, and it's why we have Discovery, I guess. And theoretically, it gives them more freedom. I don't think they took advantage of that freedom with season 1. I don't think they took advantage of it at all. Like, some episodes were shorter than regular episodes, and I don't think any of them were too much longer than a regular TV episode would be. So I really hope with season two they actually take advantage of their platform. I mean, they did a little bit with Klingon boobs and blood, but I mean, like, they really didn't push it as hard as they should have or could have as far as that kind of stuff goes.
More boobs and more blood.
And more length to the episodes. Discovery seriously needed longer episodes to not for padding, but just to explain everything. Because I felt like they left too much unexplained in Discovery. So they really should have taken advantage of, you know, as much time as they needed. So I'm hoping season two will get more of that. More, you know, less cut scenes. Because there was supposed to be cut scenes between Landry and Lorca. I'm like, why weren't they in there? You're not under any kind of time constraint. Put them in there. I would have been interested in seeing that. But who knows?
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, again, exciting new information. We don't know what's going to happen, you know, what's it all about. But, hey, this is going to be cool to get into.
Yes. Cannot wait. More Star
Trek.
Can't wait. More Star Trek is always good for me and Aaron.
Yes, for sure. Good for business.
And business is good. Trek is my business, and business is good. I'm a chick ass and chew bubble gum, but I'm all out of gum. Yes, we can get on with it, Aaron. I know we've got.
Let's get on with it.
We're recording remotely, so we've got some interesting lag issues. So
great.
On to the Ballad of Thomas Riker.
Oh, Thomas Riker. So we got to meet Thomas Riker back in the Next Generation episode, Second Chances, which came out season 6, episode 24, first airing May 24th, 1993. We're going to do just briefly what happens here. Interesting, they get to this science station that's on this planet called Nervala 4. And there's some kind of like field over this that they can't beam in and out. They only have certain windows.
And the windows only open once every 8 years. Or maybe a couple times so every 8 years.
Right. So they basically have like the first when they get to this planet, they have like three tries to download this science outpost information. Apparently, Will Riker was on this science outpost just before it was abandoned. And then he was transported up on the USS Potemkin. And he went on from there. He went to Enterprise and became the Commander Riker that we all know and love.
He got promoted for valor and really good evacuating people.
I evacuate people well.
Out of my bedroom, mostly. But, you know.
I evacuate my bowels well, too.
Mm.
But when they get down there, they find a life form. And who is that life form? It is another Will Riker.
It's the Borg. Oh, wait.
And, nah. He's too shabbily dressed to be the Borg. I like how he still has his uniform and sort of like as a vest.
Well, he's got one full sleeve and one partial sleeve because he tells them this valiant story where he broke his arm and set his own arm. So apparently that's the one he broke, whether when he's missing a sleeve on.
Yeah, right.
Storytelling.
Story time. So this Will Riker is obviously he is still a lieutenant. And he was stranded on this science station for 8 years. So he was stuck on this science station 8 years all by himself. There could be no communication because of the interference through this planet's atmosphere. And obviously nobody could beam him out.
8 years lieutenant is better than 7 years an ensign. That's just ask Harry Kim. Shitting on Harry Kim, not even a Voyager episode.
You just had to get... Yeah, I know. You had to get that jab into Harry Kim.
Huh? Well, 7 years in ensign. He's not going anywhere. At least, you know, he was a lieutenant for 8 years. I mean, that's not bad. It's not great. No, but
I know. Harry Kim's got some splaining to do. Well, anyways, so obviously the whole crew, when they find this second Will Riker, are completely baffled. And Geordi figures out after they go through the transporter log of the USS Potemkin that when they beamed out Riker off this planet, apparently the transporter beam operator chief, whoever he is, whatever he does, he put a second
nose picker
beam down. Chief, I'm Chief Nose Picker.
I'm so good at nose picking, and I'm second good at transporting.
Would you like to see my booger collection on the side of my console?
See, I've got two nostrils, and so I do two confinement beams just in case. I'm really good at cloning people.
See, I have green boogers here, I have yellow boogers there, and then I have the red ones over here.
Oh, he's got three nostrils? That's pretty impressive.
Well, no, there's different colors of boogers, as you know.
Yes. From different diseases. This is when I had syphilis.
This is when I had syphilis, guys. Sorry, it's blue. Anyways, how do we get on to boogers?
He's Chief Petty Officer Nose Picker. I'm surrounded by assholes.
I'm surrounded by assholes. Holy shit. So when he was down on this planet, or when he was beaming him off this planet, he put this second beam to take him up to help him bring up Commander Riker, or at the time Lieutenant Riker. And when he realized that he had the original Riker totally up, he just let the other one go, and it apparently hit the atmosphere and bounced back, reflected backwards, and then he rematerialized. So by setting up that second beam, he basically cloned or made a second Will Riker that rematerialized, which doesn't make a ton of sense, but you know, whatever. It's, you know, science fiction. So,
you know, between it was like a perfect storm of events. You know, they had, you know, the storm, they had the reflection, they had the second beam. I mean, it's convincing enough technobabble. I mean, transporters are technically impossible until we can invent the Heisenberg compensator.
Because that's right,
because
of course.
Because it's impossible to, you know, to know like the number of electrons and their exact location at any given time. So we've still got a long way to go before we can transport people, guys.
I know. Damn.
Get on that Heisenberg compensator, science.
Yeah, right.
And call it the Heisenberg compensator, too, so it'll line up with Star Trek.
So anyways.
Can't call it the nose picker compensator.
So the nose picker compensator. What if he was an alien with, like, multiple nostrils? We've seen that.
Yes.
It's you know, more fun.
It's sort of like the Orville, but like whenever he comes, it's out of his face, all his different orifices.
Yeah. Yes. <That's>
Rob Lowe.
Then we get to the next part where this Lieutenant Riker is reunited with Deanna Troi. So
he puts his tongue right in.
Yes, he does. So as you know, or as anybody knows enough about the relationship between Deanna Troi and Will Riker, is that they were together for a little bit before they came on the Enterprise.
Imzadi.
And, yeah, they are Imzadi, which basically means like lover, you know, mate.
The one who fucks me.
I guess you could make it that crude.
Well, I can just imagine that's what Imzadi means, and that's exactly what just knowing Loxana Troi. That's just the best translation, knowing Loxana Troi, because that's what she's all about. She's all about getting hot diggings from Picard.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Be my Imzadi, be the one that fucks me. Yes.
Yeah, baby. So, anyways,
Interesting.
Go ahead.
Because this is in the Apocrypha of Tom Riker, and don't know if this has any legitimacy, but it wasn't just like in the episode they talk about how Tom Riker, or I guess Will Riker at the time, he got this fast track to promotion. But according to Memory Alpha and the Apocrypha for Thomas Riker, I guess it's based off a novel, but it looks like a Troi caught Riker sleeping with some other lady. Actually, no, it's in the book Imzadi.
Okay.
He caught her sleeping with another lady, and her mom told her to kind of break it off, and that's kind of why things kind of went the way they did, supposedly.
You know, she should know that these things are going to happen with Will Riker.
Well, yeah, it says Imzadi revealed that Riker and Troi's last meeting on the planet occurred when Troi walked in on Will in bed with another woman when he was drunk and believed that Loxana had convinced Troi to abandon the future relationship. Oh, I guess he thought that it happened before, and that's why he was sleeping around the other lady. And that was their last meeting.
Mm. Sleeping around.
Well, I mean, it's Riker. Well,
yeah, right. It's Riker. Come on, kid. He's just slinging dick.
So, slinging that sausage, slinging that sausage left and right.
So what basically happens is that, you know, like we said, like they were together, and when he sees her again, he's still been pining after Deanna for all this time.
You know,
because he's been
the only thing that kept me going for 8 years was all the times I masturbated thinking of you.
It's you, baby. It's you.
I pulled up all your videos. Pulled up your picture.
Even those boring conferences.
I just jerked all over the screens. That's why they don't work anymore. I had to reroute into different screens.
Don't touch that console, Worf. Don't touch that. I haven't wiped that. No,
just
no.
Get the black light. It's just covered.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's great.
Someone needs to get the cleaning people down here.
Absolutely.
Well, anyways, so like he's 8 years he's been thinking about Deanna Troi and how they're supposed to meet 6 weeks later at Ryza. And, you know, obviously Deanna told him, look, you know, what happened after to the other Will Riker we know, the Commander Riker, is that he went on to pursue his career and their relationship kind of just crumbled. So there wasn't really much they could do about that. So she is sort of just like, you can tell that Deanna's kind of interested, but she's also kind of like conflicted too, obviously, because she's been over this old ground before.
Yep, because so. They've been just friends, even though every single time she tries to get married, Will Riker gets super jealous.
Yeah.
It's just funny. She's like, oh, Tom, me and Will, we're just friends. And I'm like, I don't know about that. He's been trying to get in between everyone who's been trying to get with you. So he's just waiting for you to hit that the cycle or whatever it's called. The time.
Yeah.
The phase. Exactly. That's right, the phase. He's waiting for you to get super horny.
I need that. That's the only thing that's going to keep my interest.
Exactly.
So then we get a whole kind of like scavenger hunt with Lieutenant Riker. Yeah, giving Troi a little thing to get her interested, and they meet at 10 forward.
I like that scene because, like, one of them, like, he gets her to go to, like, the dilithium crystal chamber. I think it'd be funny if he actually hid it inside the chamber and they had to stop the ship completely so he could hide it in there and then so she could find it. And then, like,
you idiot.
And then, like, she opens it up and gets blasted with radiation and dies. I was like, what?
Yeah, she melts.
Because it's been a while since I've seen the episode. I'm like, really? Is it inside the chamber? That'd be weird.
I just loved how, like,
just melt her
Geordi
face.
Looked at the – I know how Geordi looked at it after she pulled that off. And he's like, what the hell was on that? It's like, I don't know, man. You're kind of the chief engineer, and you didn't see that with those high-tech eyes? Dude, you're not doing your job.
You are not doing your job. That's like the one thing you're supposed to watch that no one messes with.
You had one job, man.
And the guy that's been masturbating to the same woman for 8 years.
I know. Well, so we get this. So there's all this during all this, like, back and forth love thing between Deanna and the lieutenant, William Riker. There's the whole thing about getting down on the planet and retrieving the information off this station, this science station. And apparently the way the thing's working, that they have to go down to some tunnels to reroute some of that data core. But Commander Riker thinks it's too dangerous. It's not worth going down. And but Picard sees it differently. And Lieutenant Riker says, hey, I know those tunnels. We can go anytime. We could just go down there. But obviously Commander Riker doesn't agree.
And you gotta do it safe.
But then I gotta do it safe, guys. Sorry. But apparently the Lieutenant Riker went to Picard to say, hey, we should do this plan. We could get it. We could get this information. No problem. Behind Will's back, and Commander Riker does not like this, and he basically comes down hard on Lieutenant Riker. Could you imagine yelling at yourself, Dave?
No. I don't know. I just feel like the whole episode, Will was being a dick to himself really, really bad. And then at the end, he's like, oh, here's our trombone. You can have it.
here. Well, I do the rusty phone.
I just think it's funny. He's like a dick to him the entire episode. Then as soon as he's leaving, oh, I'll be nice to you now.
Yeah. He can save his life.
Yeah. But I mean, like, he's still nice to him afterwards. I'm like, that's interesting.
So, we'll get into it more, obviously. But anyway, so they go down to the planet again. And this time they go with his plan of going down into the sub caverns to retrieve this information from the core and route it up to Data and Worf. As they go down, there's some, like, earthquake stuff going on, and the Lieutenant Riker almost falls into this huge crevasse or pit.
Chasm.
But
it's an or chasm.
I prefer chasm. But the Commander Riker saves Tom Riker or Lieutenant Riker.
Yes.
And from there they get this information, and they everything's good, and they but the Commander Riker importance saves the Lieutenant Riker, and maybe he realizes at this point that, you know, he doesn't really hate him, but he's just a different person than he is. And we get some great scenes between the Commander and the Lieutenant Riker, like when they're playing poker. And they're
trying to bluff each other and stuff like that. That's pretty funny. And then Lieutenant Riker storms off and it's like, you always got the better hand.
Meh. You got the better hand. Meh. Well, anyway, so what happens in after they get the core, Lieutenant Riker gets an opportunity to serve upon the USS Gandhi. And he says, because I've been out of commission for so long, it's amazing that I even have this opportunity. So he's leaving Troy, and he says, you know, in a couple, you know, I think he said a couple
six,
months,
I can have family on board. You want to get married? Wink, wink.
You want to get married? And she's like, nah, I kind of like it where I am.
I like the Enterprise too much. It's the luxury ship in space. Don't want to go anywhere else.
Yeah. It's a floating Marriott.
Yes.
So basically she rejects him in the end, and he seems to be, I don't know, somewhat resigned to it. Like, he's like, all right.
Well, I guess this is what's going to happen. And then, Will comes in, hands him his trombone, and is like, here, it's like, I guess we both kind of own this. You could have this.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he disappears into, you know, whatever.
Will, Commander Riker, holds Deanna Troi's hand as they walk out of a room. Like, oh yeah, they're just friends. Mm-hmm. Sure they are.
Well, they're very close, and I don't know.
They get married in a couple years.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that goes without saying, but still, you know, like she was very tempted at one point to be with this other Riker, and yet she still said no. And just before his parting, he says, I'm going to go with Thomas Riker, because that's his middle name. And he goes, and then Commander Riker says, I never really cared for that middle name. And he goes, I guess there's something different about us. It's like, really? You think so?
We're just clones.
So that wraps up that episode. Next time we see him is basically a year later. We see him. Technically, it's 2 years, but...
The way they described it is in the Odo's mission briefing, they said it was 9 years ago. So it's only been about 1 year in time. So it's,
Yeah, right, close. Right. Next time we see Thomas Riker, we get him on the Deep Space Nine episode Defiant, which happened season 3, episode 9, and it first aired November 21st, 1994. And we start off with basically Major Kira going through a terrible day, completely swamped, overworked, when Dr. Bashir tells her that she needs to go on some medical leave and enjoy herself. And while she's sitting there in Quark's, who shows up is Will Riker, Commander Will Riker. But we find out later that this is Tom Riker masquerading.
And he's there to bang Kira.
That's all. This mission. Five-year mission.
To boldly go and bang Kira like no human has banged her before. She usually gets banged by Majorans and then Odo. So I guess Riker's her first Odo human.
I think Odo would probably be more fun.
Oh, I mean, he can change his schlong to any shape and size.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or even go Vag if she wants to be like Mira Kira and like do herself.
Yeah, the ultimate masturbation.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyways, so is she, we get introduced to Commander Riker, but as I said, this is Tom Riker masquerading. So while Kira is kind of flirting, interested in this Commander Riker, she decides to take him around, show him around Deep Space Nine, and then he says, I want us to go see the Defiant. You know, this is an interesting ship. So she comes, they come aboard the Defiant, and who's on the Defiant when they're taking the tour is
Captain Sisko.
Chief Miles O'Brien.
Oh.
And he gets yelled at.
It's like the saddest thing that happens in the episode. Chief O'Brien gets yelled at.
Is that
for
the saddest thing? Is this the saddest thing?
It's
I don't know.
The suffering of O'Brien. He's getting yelled at by his what he thought was his friend for no reason.
Were they ever really friends? They're just sort of like workmates.
I don't know.
Well, anyways, I don't know either. But anyway, so so he kicks O'Brien out and says, "You know what you did," and he just kind of like, Get the hell out of here. I got nothing to say to you. And even Kira goes, what's that about? And he goes, it's a long story. So we don't know really what it was, but we even get O'Brien walking out of the airlock. And he's like, what the hell is that about? Did I say something to him?
Yeah, it was just such a weird scene. We actually both looked this up because I couldn't figure it out. And people were just saying that Riker was using the tactic so that O'Brien,
he wouldn't
tip O'Brien off that he wasn't really Will, but I feel like doing that when nothing actually happened would tip him off just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah, it would be like, hey, Chief O'Brien, blah, blah, blah. You know, like he obviously knows that he was there. Anyways, it was just weird. And obviously he's only going to steal the Defiant in minutes later. So it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It was a strange scene. And I first thought when I saw it, I thought, was O'Brien on the Potemkin when he beamed him and made the double of him? You know, like, was that possible? Then I looked up and it's like, no, he wasn't on there at all. So he has nothing to do about the transporter incident that made the Thomas Riker appear.
So it's just a weird thing just to make himself not get caught, I guess.
Right. And if you look this up, there's quite a few threads talking about this small exchange.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. I looked up two or three of them and I was just trying to get what people's consensus were. And that was the consensus is what I said. I'm like, I guess, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But
I just think that's hilarious that there's, you know,
so many people talking about it. Because there's nothing on Memory Alpha that explains it either. So, I mean, like, if Memory Alpha...
Or even Beta.
Yeah.
Well, anyways. So, right after they get on Defiant and he gets O'Brien out of his hair, they are on the bridge. And once Kira takes the lockout for the bridge station, he stuns her. And he fakes that the Defiant is having some kind of core breach.
And two of his key friends beam over.
Right. They beam those over. And he contacts Commander Sisko and say, hey, this is going to blow up with this core breach. Unclamp the Defiant and we'll take it to a safe distance and see if we can get this thing fixed. And so Sisko complies. And basically Thomas Riker takes off with the Defiant and goes into warp. And there was no core breach.
And then he takes off his sideburns.
Yes, which is even funnier. It's like, that was going to fool everybody.
Yes, good thing his sideburns didn't fall off before.
I was just like, you know, really? You know, it's like you couldn't have just shaved off the sideburns and people would be like, is that really William Riker? He does have a full beard, you know.
Well, it's just funny. In the Next Gen episode, the way you could tell Will from Tom Riker was that Will Riker kind of has a little bit of skin showing, like on either side of his chin, whereas Tom Riker had it all filled in with hair, I guess, some extra, or it was just combed up, so you couldn't see any skin underneath his lip.
But also Tom Riker was wearing, you know, a mustard uniform.
Well, sure. But I mean, like, they even made sure his facial hair was a little bit different, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. It makes sense. Well, so we find out that Thomas Riker is in league with the Maquis. Mm-hmm. And apparently when he was serving aboard the USS Gandhi, he decided that what the Maquis were going through and the demilitarized zone was a travesty, with Starfleet should have been protecting these colonies, and that the Cardassia's was, you know, obviously abusing these colonies.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He decided to get himself involved. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
So when Sisko and Odo have to tell Gul Dukat that basically the Maquis have stolen probably one of the most powerful ships in the quadrant and have it under their control, they have to inform him. And they want to save the Defiant, of course, because obviously it's a valuable ship, but... the Cardassia wants to basically invade the demilitarized zone and just start, you know, kicking ass. But Sisko says that's not going to happen. We have to do kind of a Federation Cardassian like co-op
joint,
work
joint
together.
Mission, yeah. So he offers himself to go to Cardassia Prime,
where he will be stripped naked and put on
and have his smolers removed.
Molars removed, yeah.
And have the Obsidian Order admire his physique.
Yes, that will happen to Thomas Riker later on, though, off screen.
Yes.
So the Cardassians accept this, and they basically, because apparently Sisko knows all the weaknesses and strengths of the Defiant.
Because he helped design it.
Yes, he helped design it. So they go to the Cardassian Prime, where they're going to use that as a war room, and they're going to track down the Defiant with their ships, the Cardassian ships.
And Gul Dukat is butting heads with the lady from the Obsidian Order.
She's pretty snaky, but that's what you'd expect
from their spy organization,
right? Well, Sisko says it reveals to him that, hey, Defiant has a cloaking device, and this is a Romulan cloaking device that's been given to them to, so Defiant can stay hidden, and the exchange is that they give information to the Romulans about the Dominion and the Gamma Quadrant. He says the cloaking devices can be picked up by anti-proton beam that can help detect it. He wasn't sure the specifications, but this is how the Dominion did that to penetrate their cloaking device. During this whole time, obviously on the Defiant, Tom Riker picks up more Maquis crew members, and Kira is. Or she wakes up and she's kind of aware of what's going on there. And she tries to sabotage the Defiant by opening up a conduit inside her room and blowing things up, and could have killed her apparently, but didn't. Much to
good
David's
thing she's a main character.
Yeah, right. But unfortunately, because of that, they'll have these neutrinos trails that they can track. They can track the Defiant, which is kind of BS, but whatever.
Oh, they damaged one of the nacelles, so it's leaking.
Yeah,
so they can track it.
I know. It's just the way they could track it. That's kind of BS, but whatever. Anyway, so Tom, there's this huge exchange.
Or they could just
Tom
use Discovery's
Riker.
Decloaking algorithm. Oh wait, no.
Yeah, maybe. I guess they've kind of like refined that since then.
Moved beyond it. Yeah.
There's this dynamic between Kira and Riker, and how he's like, hey, you used to be a terrorist. And he's like, I was a terrorist with the Cardassia because they were invaded my planet and I wanted to get them off my planet. He says, you're a Starfleet officer pretending to be a terrorist because you're not going just haphazardly killing Cardassian civilians. You're taking strategic, targets.
Well, I'm a different kind of terrorist.
He's like, no, there's only one kind of terrorist. No, there's different kinds of terrorists, Kira. No. No.
Yes, there's different kinds. Only one. My hands are the biggest hands, and I've got the biggest kind of terrorism.
And I took off my sideburns. Can you take off your sideburns, Kira? I didn't think so.
I didn't.
Take off your shoulder pads.
Yes, get rid of the shoulder pads. They're huge.
Absolutely ridiculous. So
we can use those to build a wall.
Stacks of Kira Nerys' uniforms to build the most mightiest wall.
The most mightiest wall between here and Mexico.
It's right. It's going to be huge. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. so with the Space Force. We'll build it with Space Force.
I know. We should have talked about Space Force when we started off the episode. I forgot about that. Robbie from Nerdy Navicon mentioned that we should be talking about Space Force.
Space Force. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe our next episode will be Space Force.
Space Force. I saw a meme basically saying the Space Force, you know, what we hope to be, and it's basically Star Trek, you know, is the next generation crew.
What will actually be is Starship Troopers.
Well, no, and then they were saying, you know, what we're feared to be, and then we have, like, you know, the Empire with the Stormtroopers, and it says what we probably will be, and they showed a picture of Spaceballs, so... So I thought that was fun. Anyways, back to Thomas Riker. So what kind of terrorist he's going to be?
And terrifying terrorist.
Yes. Yeah, so he wants to go to this onerous system, which he's got these intelligence reports that the Obsidian Order are building their own fleet to basically invade the demilitarized zone and just take over. And apparently, the Obsidian Order is a different branch of the Cardassian military, but they're not allowed to have their own spaceships.
They're the Section 31 of Starfleet or the Tal Shiar of the Romulans. Basically the same
thing. Yeah, it'd be basically like giving the CIA, FBI tanks and warships, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, this is secret. And when so Sisko during when the hunt for the Defiant, he kind of says that this whole area is looks like it's unprotected. And I think they might be making an attack there. And
Gold Dukat's like, well, let's move shits. Let's move shits there. Not ships. Shits. I mean, not shits. Ships.
There's shits.
I was pre-gaming. I was pre-gaming a little bit. Yeah, there's some of our shits there. I've got two shits to give.
Like, there's literally turds. There are turds floating in space.
Turds in Space Force.
Anyways. Oh, man. So anyways, when he wants to move one of the ships into that area, he just wants to send one ship. He gets all this blowback by the Obsidian Order representatives. Like, no, there can be no ships there. And he's like, why? There's nothing in that sector.
Are you hiding your black hole?
Yeah, that's right. He says any ship you send in there will be destroyed immediately. So, but then this is where Thomas Riker is going, because he wants to reveal what's happening, that this attack force is being built up to, you know, get rid of people in the demilitarized zone.
The Space Force.
The Space Force. That's right. It's going to be great.
Zeb Brannigan.
Come on, Gip. Let's go. Anyways, so they're following Defiant with their neutrino trail, and they have a bunch of Cardassian warships following them as they move into the system, and then they are met with these mysterious new Cardassian just built warships in this in the system that the Obsidian Order is trying to protect. So this tips the Obsidian Order's hand to let them know that these ships do exist, and they're doing something illegal for the Cardassian government. And so they make a deal that they can go that Tom Riker would be taken into custody, not executed, but put to hard labor, and the rest of the crew of the Defiant of the Maquis would be basically put into trial by the Federation, and the Defiant would go back to the Federation as well, so it wouldn't be destroyed. So this is agreed to by Tom Riker when he realizes he's hopelessly outnumbered. And they go to Gul Dukat's force, and they are protected by his spaceships, and the Defiant crew of the Maquis stands down. And basically, this is where it kind of ends, is that Tom Riker is going to go on to a labor camp, and he gives Kira a passionate kiss just before he leaves, and he's beamed away.
She's leaning on his chest like one of those romance novels, and she's like, "We'll get you out of there, I promise." But apparently the writers didn't listen to her promise.
And that's the last we ever see of him.
Tom Riker's forgotten.
Completely forgotten.
Oh, they totally banged, though. They had to have, for her to be like, "Oh my God, we're going to go after you."
Well, yeah, and there's this quick exchange in the close to the beginning where she says she was talking to Riker for 3 hours, and she was like,
just
talking. Sure. So this is obviously bullshit.
Exactly.
Well, anyways, so that's where we get left off. Now, Dave, as we've talked before we recorded, there is a ton of backstory and continuing story in non-canon about Tom Riker.
Yeah, backstory and non-canon. Yeah, there's lots of he's died many times, and he's lived to different time periods and not lived to different time periods. He's one thing interesting before we get into that is that toward the end of DS9, there was a rumor that Tom was revealed to be a Section 31 member, but Ronald Moore said it was not true. Although, honestly, I would think that would make a whole lot more sense than him just randomly being a Maquis member that happens to know or suspect there's some kind of secret Tal Shiar force being built. Because, I mean, Kira's right. He's not acting like a terrorist. He's acting like he's acting like a spy, honestly. I just don't – that just seems a little above, like, you know, Maquis pay grade, you know, being the terrorists that they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but – yeah, I don't know. Tom Riker, though, is a little more juvenile seeming than Ander Will Riker, which we see that in Second Chances, where Will Riker kind of defined himself and his command, and Tom Riker is kind of like, you know, a little more wild, you know. So obviously they had different experiences within those 8 years to change who they were, which makes sense, you know, I would say.
Sure, and you know, there was the whole thing where Kira.
So there's a lot of different interesting things.
Go ahead.
You there?
Yeah, it was just some lag.
I'm sorry, you just cut out.
Oh no, I stopped talking because I realized there was lag, and then you were going, so I was trying to let you finish.
Oh, go ahead.
I mean, yeah, Kira was saying over and over Kira was saying over and over again that there was the discussion between them was that he was trying to be different and that he was trying to go out in some kind of blaze of glory, which I guess I sort of get, and that's kind of what you were saying, but at the same time, like, still, like, that just seems like that kind of intelligence being suggested seems a little bit over, like, my key pay grade. Like, I just see Maquis as, like, these people are just like, yeah, we're fighting Cardassians. Like, we're just trying to keep them off the border. And, like, Riker was doing something very specific. I mean, I guess they could have had some intelligence, but it just I like the Section 31 angle, but I always love Section 31 angles. I'm sad they said it wasn't true, but I mean, that makes a lot more sense to me as far as, like, getting, like, probable intelligence from Section 31 versus the Maquis. Because I would trust Section 31 on getting intelligence way over the Maquis, personally.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of think that he is so undisciplined. By the time we see him again, he decides he joins the Maquis. But too, we also have guys like Chakotay, who was a Starfleet officer. So I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, there's stuff saying like that.
There's obviously political reasons.
Yeah, I think one of the stories, one of the books said that Chakotay actually put Riker up to this mission.
Really interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Anyways, so Dave, we've seen Tom Riker. He's obviously different than Will Riker. What is your thoughts of the sad tale of Thomas Riker?
My biggest thoughts is I'm just really sad that the DS9 writers just never came back to him. I mean, they had... This was, what season 3, I think, he came up. So, I mean, they had lots more seasons. So they could have addressed it. Even though Deep Space Nine does get heavily serialized, there's plenty of time they could have... Yeah, screw one of those stupid Mira episodes. And let's save the Tom Riker episode instead of one of those Mira episodes. DS9 did way too many Mira episodes, I think. So, I mean, there's plenty of opportunity to do, like, the return of Tom Riker. And it's one of the things they said in the Memory Alpha for Defiant is that Will Riker was TNG's character, so they couldn't do anything with him, but they could do whatever they want with Tom Riker. So I'm like, why didn't they? I mean, they did this one episode, but it would be great. And Jonathan Frakes, from reading the Memory Alpha, he wanted to come back, and they just never, they never follow it up, and that's just super disappointing. I mean, that's the saddest part of the whole ballad of Will Riker is that there's set up for more, and then they just didn't follow through. This is almost as disappointing, or if not more disappointing, than TNG Conspiracy, where they were like, setting up for a whole bunch of other stuff, and then it never panned out. And I'm just like, Conspiracy, never following up on that was a huge missed opportunity. And I know technically the Borg was what that morphed into, but it's not the same. It's different, but I mean, it's got threads, but I would have liked to see Conspiracy followed up upon, and I would have loved to see Tom Riker followed up upon. So these are two big missed opportunities in each of these series. So how about you, Aaron?
Yeah.
Oh, Tom Riker is so interesting to me on lots of different levels. I mean, first, like you said, Deep Space Nine never following up on Tom Riker and, just what happened to him after. Did he stay in the camp for the rest of his life? I mean, the novels say no. He got, like, kidnapped or taken by Sela from the Romulan Empire and became her lover and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's lots of different stuff that's out there.
Ooh la la.
So, which is interesting. Yeah, which is interesting for sure. The other side of it is with Second Chances is the difference between the 8 years of, discipline and hard work and a career-minded Will Riker compared to the basically trying to survive and doing whatever he had to Thomas Riker down on this planet. And just like, as we said, like the Will Riker was a dick to Tom Riker, but not, there were some reasons why he was the way he was, but I would think that he would be more sympathetic to yourself. Maybe that's just how he treats himself internally, which could be the case. Some people are very hard on themselves. And so maybe we're seeing how he interacts with himself on a daily basis to himself. Like, that's not good enough, Will. You have to do better.
Pump harder, just... pump harder, pump harder.
Yeah. Pump harder, pump harder.
Do her more. Turn her over.
So, yes. Anyways, that's the side of it I was wondering about. And like, Worf even made the comment that some people don't like to see themselves because they see they would see their own faults. And maybe that's what he's seeing as well, or an earlier version of him. So
that's deep for Worf. Going on.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like that's really deep for Worf. Worf's like, shoot it, kill it. Prune juice, kill it.
Exactly.
And then he was super introspective right there. I'm like, that's weird.
And I thought it was weird that Data came and asked Worf about this, and Worf's a Klingon.
Like,
I know what humans...
He came to ask him about human feelings.
Yeah.
Well, he was raised by humans. He's got a little bit of insight on human feelings. He was raised by him.
Yeah, I guess, but...
He had a human brother.
Yeah. Human parents, right? There we have is that interaction between the two. I thought it was fascinating. And obviously, we see a totally different temperament during that poker game where the Will Riker knows that he's got a good hand and that he could probably beat Tom Riker. Tom Riker just completely bluffs because that's all he knows how to do. So he doesn't have the experience. So experience does change you, and your experience can change your temperament as a person as well. But it seems strange that we have
Tom Riker then totally going off the rails instead of moving on his career path on the Gandhi and wherever else he may go, he decides he's going to go and he's going to join the Maquis. It's just a strange choice.
It really is a strange choice. And you know, we're talking about how he's like, you know, lack of
discipline.
But he for having a lack of discipline, he resigned himself to being the fall man pretty quick, pretty easily. Yeah. Like, for what, you know, you'd think he'd be a lot more upset about it, like visibly with that lack of discipline. So I thought that was interesting how stoically he took it.
Yeah. And he into that, you know, like he had whatever, like three or four chasing Cardassian warships chasing him. And then there's five ahead of him. And, you know, he's like, well, I guess I'll just give up now, you know. And I don't know if we'd see that from Will Riker. I mean, obviously, they did have the chance that the Defiant would be destroyed and his crew would be destroyed. But isn't that what the Maquis has to be ready for at any point, is that they're going to sacrifice their lives for their cause? So
even more evidence that he's not really Maquis. He's really working for Section 31, because it doesn't seem. I don't know. I guess they could have beamed him out with a spore drive device, but who knows?
Yeah.
I mean,
spore drive device.
That's how slow
speculation.
That's how Sloan gets around. Well, that's how we suppose he gets around. So I mean, like, yeah.
That's maybe what you think doesn't mean that's how he does.
Yeah, but it's true. But we've got nothing saying otherwise yet. So.
Yeah, true.
True until proven otherwise. It's not like Star Trek Discovery is actually going to tell us how anything works anyway. So, I mean, might as well just theorize.
Let's just make shit up.
Since they won't.
No, I like your idea. It's just it's obviously not substantiated. So that's where I'm at with Tom Riker. And it is really stupid that they just never went back to him. I mean, as we said, there's a ton of stuff with Tom Riker in a lot of novels and comics. Just to name a few that they have out there is like Fallen Gods takes place during the Dominion War. There's the comic Soul Asylum at Deep Space Nine is one of the talks about Tom Riker. Mzadi Triangle, Mzadi 2, I guess that's one of them also as well. The Poison Chalice, the Fall novel. I don't know what that is.
It's a computer game, Star Trek Deep Space Nine Dominion Wars. There's a mission involving rescuing Tom Riker from a Cardassian convoy, after which point he's playable as a commander. And I guess if you play as the Dominion on the same game, if you play as the Dominions of the Federation, there's a mission that requires you to destroy a galaxy-class ship under his command.
Nice. There's a ton of stuff out there, and if you go to if you look up Tom Riker, you can find out a ton of different novels and comics that he was either brought up or was actually has a story based around him. So
also in Star Trek Online, it says Thomas's son Joshua Riker can be met in the Badlands, and he explains that the labor camp was eventually abandoned and his father had led survivors to build a community, and Thomas died several years after having fart failure. He had fart failure. he can no longer pass gas, and he died of it. No, he died of heart failure several years later while carrying his injured wife back to the camp where she died. So that's awful. Apparently this Riker's heart isn't as good as Will's.
Son, no more beans, please. I can't fart anymore.
Fart failure. He had complete four-chamber fart failure.
Yeah.
He will never be the same again. I'm sorry. I pre-gamed a little before the show, or a lot.
That's great.
I might have had two drinks before the show had my regular drink.
That's amazing. Well, so there we go. Thomas Riker, interesting character. Wish we had more of him. I mean, we potentially still could get him, I guess.
If one of those shows is a TNG spinoff, we could get the resurrection of Tom Riker.
Yeah,
that could be interesting. I mean, I feel like that's really far-fetched for them to bring.
Oh, yeah.
If it is a new series with Captain Picard and, you know, Patrick Stewart cast, I think it'd be really hard if they it'd be really far-fetched for them to bring Tom Riker back. But, you know, maybe he's a fan favorite enough for them to be crazy enough to do it. Who knows?
Yeah. Right. We don't know. Yeah, so cool stuff. I do wish we saw Tom Riker come back, but whatever. Just that's how it goes. Deep Space Nine, just kind of let it go.
Yeah, I mean, Deep Space Nine was doing a whole lot, though. I mean, they did have a lot on their plate. But like I said, drop one of those stupid mirror episodes and do Tom Riker again. I mean...
Yeah. Get him out of that camp.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just wasn't a fan of DS9's mirror episodes. I felt like they got tired. I got tired of them after a while.
Oh, they got terrible after a while. Oh,
I mean, the only semi-redeeming part of them is Kira wanting to bone herself.
Hilarious. So hilarious.
It was just so weird seeing, like, ultra-sexual Kira versus, like, the more prudish one. I mean, I guess the prudish one was really sexual, too, because she, like, banged every Vedic she could get her hands on, but... She just seemed a lot more prudish, and like this Kira's all like, yeah, I'll do anything that moves. I'm like, even myself. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, she was probably one of the most interesting things to watch in the mirror episodes, like the intendant Kira, because it was just so fun seeing a less uptight version of Kira.
What's even more interesting that we have Riker, who is, you know, obviously just a sex hound, and he meets him himself, and he tries to seduce himself. You would think this would just be like a no-brainer for Riker.
You know? That would be funny.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Or at least Troy propose a three-way between them.
Yeah, I mean, this just, I don't know. I think this is where a Riker's fail moment.
Oh yeah, definitely. This is the Riker fail.
He could have had some fun with himself and Deanna, I suppose.
Yeah. It was funny. One of the parts in the TNG episode, Will was telling Tom, I was like, oh yeah, me and my dad, we patched up a little bit. And you should have told him about his dad boning Pulaski.
Right. Of course he wouldn't know who Pulaski is, so wouldn't have any meaning to how horrific that is.
He could show him, a picture, a hologram. I'm sure they got it somewhere. She was in the Enterprise for a year. I'm sure they had records. I'm like, yeah, dad banged this chick who was my doctor for a year.
And here's a holographic image of what I think her vagina looks like.
Well, we did have a three-way. We did joke that the three of them did do it.
Oh, right. Yeah, we did talk about that.
Back when we talked about the Ambujutsu episode. So, yeah, we did talk about that a while back.
Well, anyways. Goodbye. Goodbye, Tom Riker.
Goodbye, Boner.
Goodbye. Oh man, it was too bad that you could have been just killed by the Cardassians, and we could have been like, all right, at least we know what happened to them. But like, instead,
they went out of their way to keep them alive to use them in another episode, and they just didn't. I'm just like, I don't understand. Like, no, because they spent a lot of time making sure he didn't die.
Yeah. Should have at least killed him, or at least gone back for him at least once. Maybe had like a tragic end. In labor camps, but at least give them a good story. So,
yeah, they could have done a nice depressing episode where they go to save him, but he dies while they're saving him. You know, give Jonathan Frakes a good death scene they could do. That'd been fun.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, absolutely.
But now it's just so ambiguous.
Yeah, just like Kira's sexual
preferences.
I don't know. Whatever.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
But no emails this week, guys. Apparently we were right. It apparently was Holly Michelle that brings in all the emails, and she wasn't here with us last week. So,
yeah, they were like, nah.
We love you guys too.
But if you do have any emails, you can send them over to us at synthaholics@yahoo.com.
Yes, sir.
And anything you want to say, topics, discussions, things you disagree with us, things you agree with us, just throw them in there. We'd love to read them. We'd love to talk about them.
You could even record audio and send it to us, and we can play it on the air and respond to you that way too. So we don't have to read your words if you're scared of us butchering your words. You can send stuff to us in your own words. We'll play it over the air and we'll respond to it. So however you want to do that, via email. Just send an attachment, or just type us up something. That'd be good either way.
And we've got a couple of people that responded back saying how in our last episode we talked about maybe changing up some of our format, talking about other things other than just Star Trek. And we got some favorable response saying, hey, you know, we love Star Trek, but if you want to talk about other things too, we'd be on board for that as well. So that's cool. Glad to hear that.
Yes, thank you for those who have reached out to us on the Facebook group about that. And you can continue to reach out to us on the Facebook group for those who have not chimed in or told us what they think about that yet. We spoke about that on the animated series episode, where we probably didn't have as many people listening to it. But you should go back and listen to last episode if you have not. There's two great listener emails that we read and respond to. So you can at least go back and listen to the second half of last week's episode if you didn't get to hear the first.
Yeah, and animated series, because if you poo-poo animated series, I understand, but talking about animated series is hilarious, and it's so fun. So that's one of the reasons why I love talking about the animated series, is because it's so ridiculous. So it's great to talk about.
It is absurd. Yes.
So if you want to just hear some just off the wall Star Trek talk, that's pretty fun. So obviously you can email us, you can contact us at our Facebook page, our group page.
Yeah, facebook.com/group/synthaholics. On Twitter, personally, I'm at David_J_Duncan. Aaron's at Blackbird2004. Holly's at Lunar Thistle. And I think I said the show. If I didn't say the show, it's at Synthaholic Duo.
Yes, that's correct. You can email us, you can talk to us on Facebook, you can tweet us. All those are great. We love to respond any way we can. In addition, if you can, please go to Apple iTunes. You can rate and review us there. That helps us get seen by more people. 5 stars and preferably a nice thing you could say about the show. In addition, if you have any money, we definitely love to get a little bit just to help us keep the podcast going. If you want to go to Patreon.com/Synthaholics, that's a great way to contribute to us. A buck a month is not much to ask to keep our content coming towards you.
Yes, that would be absolutely fantastic. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for people that share the show with their friends. You know, in the email, one of our writers, I believe it was Josh, who said that he lets his friends know about the show. So that's fantastic. And I was at Buffalo Cosplay Con today, and I handed out some of my cards, and a couple of them said they're going to tell their friends about the show. So hopefully you guys will be on board as well. So thank you, everyone, so much for watching. I started doing YouTube stuff again a little bit. So, yeah. Thank you so much for listening. And, Aaron, thank you so much for joining me. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was. I'm glad I can go with my middle name now.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. It's Matthew. It's just so funny that I had two childhood friends named Matthew. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. And that works out quite well.
Very common.
Well, thank you again all for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. U.S. Gandhi. The U.S. Gandhi.
Gumby.
Have you tried turning it on and turning it off again?
Hey, Pokey. Oh, man. Oh, good old Tom Riker.
It was the good days. It was the bad of days.
It was the worst day for Tom Riker to be put in hard labor. I just loved how he resigned to that, too. He was like, yeah, okay, hard labor. That's what I've been looking for. I've been trying to get back in that stuck on a science post outpost for 8 years kind of feel.
Yeah,
I found my groove.
I need to get ripped again. I lost it on the Potemkin. I mean, the Gandhi. I got all thin and bony like Gandhi. I need to get my muscles back.
We go through fasting periods on the Gandhi. I bet they do.